This is Andy Griffith. Statistics seem to indicate that in the next 10 years, there will be less and less demand for people with higher education. It isn't that people with brain power won't be needed. It's just that the world doesn't want new ideas as much as it needs folks who can clean a sewer or boil out a car radiator. The effect of all that, as you can imagine, put a lot of PhDs, doctors of whatever, in the position of taking jobs for which they were totally unsuited. As a result, a lot of people in industry don't know what they're doing. Now, if you don't believe that, ask anyone who's hired a file clerk with a college degree. Anyhow, the point of all this is to tell you about Hamilton Oliphant, a doctor of psychology who's been finding it impossible lately to live on the income of his chosen profession. Come in.
Well, here I am, Doctor.
Oh, I'm glad you could come, Susan.
Oh, heavens to Betsy, I'm honored. I've never had a doctor call and ask me for a consultation.
Oh, how have you been feeling?
Adjusting.
In looking over your history, I remembered that you were a top-notch secretary.
Forget it.
No. Just wait now. What if I were to offer you a position with glamour?
Glamour?
Excitement.
Come on, Doc.
I'm going to begin a life of crime. I want you to come with me and record what you see.
What kind of crime?
I'll tell you. But first, I want you to understand that this is an experiment based on the fact that I know from experience what people are going to do before they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Living things all respond in different ways to different stimuli. It will be a first-hand account, never before documented, of how people react when they're scared out of their gourds.
Well, what if you get caught?
That will never happen, my dear Susan. When you know beforehand in what direction the lion will leap, you're able to step out of the way.
What are you planning to do?
My initial enterprise will be the appropriation of a valuable diamond from one of this city's most eminent jewelry stores.
I can't get over this. You're going to be a crook. Oh, that's marvelous.
You may laugh now. Excellent. Exactly how I knew you'd react. Excellent, excellent.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our stars, Shepard Menken and Shirley Mitchell, in Mr. Menken's original radio play, Hamilton Oliphant.
To tell you the truth, I always thought all smart people made a lot of money. But that isn't always true. For instance, Hamilton Oliphant has to decide on a life of crime because just being a doctor of psychology isn't enough. He's got to be rich and famous. Step one, he's asked his former patient, Susie Ketzel, to help him with his plans.
I don't understand why you want me particularly.
Because you're perfect. You have the exact psychological makeup and skills that I'm looking for.
Hmm.
Besides, I anticipate the necessity of our being together for long periods of time and, well, to be very frank with you, Susan, I don't find you unattractive.
Why, doctor, how unprofessional.
Well, I shouldn't have said that.
Of course not, and I'm shaken.
Hmm. I know it's a problem with you, Susan, but you still don't seem to know the difference between destructive satire and good, clean fun. Let me ask you, in your opinion, what is good, clean fun?
I don't know. What good is clean fun?
Oh, you really are incorrigible. All I was trying to convey to you was that, as a woman, I find you attractive.
Well, as a woman, I'm glad to be found.
I think I'd like to stop this conversation. I don't think it's getting either of us very far.
Well, it depends on how far you want to get. Oh, come on, Hamilton. Let's talk about your devious scheme.
I'm going to steal a diamond.
All right.
As soon as we can work out a method of working together. Now, will you take the job?
On one condition.
And that is?
That you never lose your temper with me. Will you promise?
I never lose my temper. You forget I'm a trained psychologist. If I failed to keep control of my own emotions, it would indicate a complete failure of my ability to cope with the vagaries and infinite vicissitudes of the various personality syndromes.
One more thing.
What's that?
My question was, will you promise me you will never lose your temper?
And I gave you my reply.
Yes, but was your answer yes or no?
How have you been working on your problem? Do you still make fun of everything?
Well, I think what's happened is that I've learned to accept the way I am, so I'm happier.
Mm. Let's cross the street here.
Okay. Yeah,
hold my arm.
Well, I can't run in these shoes.
Well, hold on.
It won't be the first time I've been hurt by a heel.
You sound bitter.
Horseradish.
Why did you say that?
Obvious association. You said I was bitter. I make a joke of everything. That's ribbing. Ribbing suggests prime rib and horseradish. Get it? Oh, I'm starving.
What would you like?
Oh, maybe tuna fish. A tuna fish sandwich.
I don't think so.
Something wrong with tuna fish?
You want a tuna sandwich.
That's what I said.
No, you said a tuna fish sandwich. We all know that tuna is a fish. It's unnecessary to call it anything more than tuna.
Okay.
Okay, what?
I want a tuna sandwich.
You wouldn't say I want a salmon fish sandwich.
All right, already. You're pedantic, you know that.
Well, if pedantic is to be correct, I'm pedantic. You wouldn't say I want a sardine fish sandwich.
No, I wouldn't. I hate sardines, and if you don't cut it out, you're going to be Hamilton fish.
Touché. I merely thought I'd expose you to your own medicine, a little prime ribbing of my own.
Very good. You're funny, you know. You ought to get someone to represent you.
Really?
Yeah, a good lawyer. Now, look, tell me about this great diamond robbery you're planning.
I can't think dishonestly on an empty stomach. Wait till we find a restaurant, huh?
Hey, this looks like a good place to eat.
Very well, but it does not look like a good place to eat. I wouldn't eat this place. What you really meant to say was, this is a good place in which to eat. I can give you other examples of people you can think of. I can put it in.
Now, tell me about this big caper. Who do we have to kill for this diamond?
How's your sandwich?
Very good.
So tell me, why aren't you working anymore?
People can't stand me.
Oh, I think that's in your own mind.
Yeah? Well, look at this.
Oh, there must have been a nasty cut. Mm. Please put your dress down. The man over there just put soy sauce on his bagel.
I got that scar when I was attacked by my last employer.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. He threatened my life. Couldn't take my jokes.
Tell me about it.
Well, his name was Gross. Gross Hayes and Fabrics? Maybe you've heard of them.
Oh, sorry, no.
Men's clothes, very big in pants. Anyway, I was Mr. Gross's secretary. Last year, he gave me his tax return to mail to the IRS. I don't know how it happened, but the envelope stuck to a piece of third-class mail. One of the brochures we sent out to the trade.
Hmm.
It arrived at a retail store in New Zealand 6 weeks later. Of course, they mailed it back, but before I could get it to the Internal Revenue Service, it was 2 months late. It seems that Mr. Gross delved into more things than pants. He lucked out on pork bellies and made a cool $200,000, which he forgot to mention on his tax return.
Uh-oh.
That uh-oh cost him $82,475.22, plus $35,000 in legal fees. But he didn't go to jail.
Wow.
Well, I tried to comfort him. I said if he paid me a bigger salary, he'd have bigger deductions. Win a few, lose a few, I said. C'est la vie, I said.
Amusing.
Yeah, I thought so. But he picked up a chair like a lion tamer and forced me into a corner.
How'd you get away?
I didn't. I knocked over a potted plant, a ficus benjamina, cost Mr. Gross $125 wholesale, and cut my thigh over here.
Please don't lift your dress again.
Not including the price of the pot.
I want you to work with me. You have everything I'm looking for.
You like my legs, huh? Okay, Doc, I'll tell you the truth. You're all right. Why do you think I kept coming back for psychological treatment? You didn't do anything for me, but I thought you were cute.
Then you'll take the job.
Listen, you want to rip off a diamond? Okay, but that's not entirely wholesome. I want to know what I'm getting into. Frankly, I think there's a vibrating bumblebee between your ears.
I'll tell you everything.
Well, if I want to know everything, I'll turn on the 11 o'clock news. Why would a doctor, a guy who's got everything, want to become a criminal? A criminal with a secretary yet? You've got a lot of explaining to do, Hamilton, so you'd better start talking.
I'll tell you, Susan, whatever you want to know.
All right. But I gotta tell you something, Hamilton. I can't guarantee you won't get a few laughs.
In South Africa, they say that if you want a diamond, you can either dig for it or clobber someone who has one. In one case, you need a spade, and in the other case, you want a club. But Hamilton Oliphant, super psychologist, is going to try for a diamond playing a different hand. working with the Queen of Hearts.
Yes. Oh, yes, this is Dr. Oliphant. Yes, thank you for returning my call. I was trying to get in touch with Dr. Maven. Yes, it's quite important. Would you have him call me as soon as he gets in? Yes, I'll be here all afternoon.
Isn't that Professor Maven from the university?
That's right.
Didn't he start those rumors about Freud and the Duke of Wellington?
Oh, that's right, but he was proved wrong.
Well, how could anyone prove a thing like that one way or the other?
Oh, it was simple. Someone discovered Freud and the Duke of Wellington lived in different centuries. Professor Maven was chastised, but he's a brilliant man.
How do you know him?
Oh, it's an interesting story. He was my teacher in college.
Oh.
Never noticed me. There were 300 in the class. One day I walked up to him and said, smiling, Professor Maven, tomorrow after class, I'm going to dump a bucket of sewage on your head.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. He looked at me abrasively and said nothing. I walked away smiling.
Mm-hmm.
The next day I came to class with a pail. Now, all during his lecture, Dr. Maven never removed his glance from the pail. When the class was over, I made a motion to go toward him. He drew back slightly. I paused a moment, then with a forward lunge, placed a paper bearing my name on his desk.
Oh.
I remember him standing there as though he were nailed to the floor. I turned and left the room. He never forgot me.
Oh, Hamilton, that's
yes.
Marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful story, and I love you. But you've got to tell me why you want to steal a diamond and why you're calling Dr. Maven.
You do?
Do what?
Love me.
Yes, I do. But I don't want to discuss that now. Why are you calling Dr. Maven?
I want to be published.
So by a printing press.
I want to write a paper on people's reactions to criminal acts.
You can see criminal acts on any city street. Why get involved?
It's never been done.
Spending a weekend in Cleveland with a gorilla hasn't been done either, and it's a lot safer.
Ah, but much less rewarding. You see, if my paper is successful, I can become world famous overnight.
There are so many other ways of getting known. All kinds of people you can experiment on. The world is full of nuts.
Please, Susan, never refer to my patients as nuts.
Crazies?
Please.
Kooky bookies?
Dr. Oliphant here. Oh, Dr. Maven, how are you? Fine, fine, thank you. Oh, I'll come right to the point, Doctor. I need a favor. Why should you do me a favor? Well, that's a good question. Okay. For one, I didn't dump sewage on your head. I get points on that one, huh? Professor, I'd like you to put me in touch with one of your patients. Oh, I know that's not ethical, but what the hell, eh? I need a kleptomaniac, a guy who'll take anything except no for an answer. I want somebody who knows what he's doing. You see, I'm doing a paper on crime. Oh, terrific. He's a lawyer? Incredible. Specializes in shoplifting, does he? What do you think he'll charge for a consultation? Uh-huh. Can I say you recommended me? Oh, fine, Professor. Fine. Thank you. Goodbye. Well, this may be the first step to a great adventure.
Yeah, that's what the Frenchman said as he walked off the Eiffel Tower.
Can you imagine a lawyer who's a thief? Now, that's really unbelievable.
I wouldn't touch that line with a 10-foot pole.
Incredible.
Or a 6-foot Greek.
Come on. We're going to see him. This guy's going to show us the finer points of diamond removal.
Oh, I've got a feeling one of the finer points is going to be the top of his head. Don't you think we ought to call for an appointment?
Oh, never, never, never. A lot of lawyers record their phone calls.
I see what you mean. Well, if it's going to be recorded, I wouldn't say a word without a musical background.
Oh, no, a lot of lawyers record their phone calls, you see, and at the end of the day, they play back the tape and write down the names of everyone on the recording. Then they send them a bill.
Oh, that's what the mama bird said to the baby bird.
What did the mama bird say to the baby bird?
Never give out your name or you'll be billed.
Mm. You know, the best way to catch a professional man off guard is out of his office. You get friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Take him to lunch. Then he can get free advice. It's like meeting a doctor at a party. You can discuss your problems, and they talk about their practice.
I know. All the doctors I ever met at parties didn't need any practice. They started operating immediately.
And you don't get billed.
You're right. I've gone out with a lot of doctors and never got a charge.
Taxi! Now let me do all the talking.
That's his name? How did he put that on his door? W. Blameford Claimbroth. Oh, attorney at law. What did his mother call him?
Now, just watch. The receptionist is going to ask me to make an appointment. Hmm? She's going to act like a great rock at the opening of the cave.
Why, she could close off a bank vault. Boy, is she big. Looks like she made that dress from a Navy surplus boat cover.
Probably a very good watchdog.
You don't think she'll let us in, huh?
Never, never. She's paid to keep us out.
Huh.
But I'm prepared for her. Now, you watch and see how I maneuver her personality.
Yes?
I'd like to see the counselor.
Whom shall I say is calling?
What?
I'll tell Mr. Claimbroth you're here. He loves unexpected clients.
You mean he'll see me?
Oh, I'm sure, but I'll ask him anyway. It's time he woke up from his nappy cake. May I give him your name?
Dr. Hamilton Oliphant and Miss Susan Ketzel.
Why are you putting on that wig?
Oh, it belonged to his mother. Mr. Claimbroth often wakes up pouting. He likes to think his mother is calling from the land of Nod.
Tell him I'm a friend of Dr. Maven.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. It might put him in a tantrum for the rest of the day. And he has to be in Washington tonight. A dinner honoring the vice president. I'll be right
there. She was tough, but I hope you notice how I broke her down.
Oh, yes, yes. It's just as well we left our battering ram in the elevator.
He'll see you in a moment, Dr. Oliphant. Mr. Claimbroth woke up all by himself today. We're very pleased about that. He's just finishing his milk and cookies.
Oh, sounds interesting. What kind of law does Mr. Claimbroth practice?
Oh, anything at all. But his favorite is defending the underperson.
Underperson? That's like underdog.
Yes, Mr. Claimbroth only defends people.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Send the men's mouthy and tell them to be careful.
Oh, I will, Mr. Claimbroth. Be very careful when you go in, Doctor. He worked so hard putting everything together. It's taken him all week.
What the hell is that?
It's his railroad. We have tracks all around the room. Wait till you see the new station Mr. Claimbroth built in Poughkeepsie.
Professor Maven shouldn't have told you about me. Just because I like to take things doesn't mean I'm going to give you lessons in how to steal a diamond. I'll sue him, that's what I'll do.
Oh, you don't want to do that, Mr. Claimbroth.
The heck I don't. I love to serve papers.
You want people to like you, don't you, Blameford?
Nobody likes me. And I don't like them. That's why Mommy said I should be a lawyer.
Well, I like you.
And I like you, too.
I don't care if people don't like me.
You wouldn't serve me with papers, would you, Blamey? I'm your friend.
Well, maybe not you.
Ah.
Hey, you want to play with my trains?
Maybe later, Blameford. I really came to see you because I need advice. I want you to tell me how I can steal a diamond.
Well, if you really want to know, it's easy and it's fun to do. But I think law is better.
Law is better than real crime?
Oh, sure, because you always get paid. See, if a lawyer doesn't get paid, he can sue even his own client. And he doesn't have to spend legal fees. That's fun.
I'm losing my sense of humor, Hamilton. I think this guy's a nut.
Okay, now, I want you to watch this.
Amazing.
Oh, you simply passed your hand over that spoon and it disappears.
The magnet. I have a magnet. See, it only picks up steel, and this spoon is silver plated.
But we don't want to steal steel. We want to steal a diamond.
And diamonds are harder.
Oh, well, then you can't use a magnet. But it is so much fun. Watch. See? Isn't that nice? I can do that with ball bearings, too.
This guy's got a weak spring.
Look, counselor, I came here because I want to understand the fine points of shoplifting. Some professional hints. After all, there are no textbooks on the subject.
Yes, well, I can only tell you how I do it.
How?
Well, I read something once that said over 50% of all swipage was incurred by children.
Yes?
Yes.
Nobody catches little children. They commit crimes innocently, and so do I. I like it.
What you're saying is,
You just do it. You're not self-conscious about it.
Well, that's no advice. You're a fraud.
Hmm. Well, you better just watch it before I start filling out forms.
Well, you better start filling out your own form, you skinny little...
Hold it.
But Hamilton, he's got his tape recorder going. He's going to charge you for
no,
this.
No. He's right, Susan. He's given me the answer. The reason nobody bothers little kid crooks is they're afraid of making them cry. People are afraid of making waves. If you don't act suspiciously and simply rip everybody off, nobody will ever believe it. And even if they do, they're too afraid, embarrassed, or hung up to do anything about it. Blamford, you may have made one of the great contributions to criminal psychology.
That's nice. Say, if you're not going to steal your diamond right now, I got a half hour before I have to be in court. And if you send down for ice cream, I'll let you play with my trains.
I'm not sure, but it might be that we're all privileged to hear what's about to happen. It isn't every day we get to be let in on the making of historical events. However, if you decide not to listen to the end of this story, you probably would be able to read about it pretty soon in any book on criminal psychology. Personally, I don't like reading technical books, so I'm going to stay tuned. Hamilton and Susan left the office of W. Blamford Claimbrough, attorney at law, and went to a public park 3 blocks away. There, they expect to plan the great diamond robbery.
Well, this is better. Park benches may not be comfortable, but at least we can talk. Now, I've decided exactly how I want to do this. Sit down, will you?
Buy me a newspaper, Hamilton.
A newspaper?
Oh, not for reading, dear. It's for spreading out. Those pigeons over there had a ticker tape parade on this bench.
Oh, I see. Well, how about my handkerchief?
No newspaper, huh? Well, I guess no news is good news.
Okay. Now that you're comfortable, I'll tell you my plan.
Okay.
I intend to do a trial run.
You mean you're going to rehearse?
Exactly.
A rehearsal for a diamond robbery? What do? Get fake diamonds and a rent-a-cop?
No. I'm going to take all the risks of the actual job, but on a lesser scale. Have you ever been to Schlock's?
The department store? Oh, I spent my childhood there. Every weekend, my mother would meet me in the toy department and force-feed me.
Yeah, well, there's also a jewelry department there.
Oh, Hamilton, you're not going to rip off Schlock's department store.
No, this is no time for sentimentality. When a crime is committed, someone always gets hurt.
Oh, I can still hear the man on the loudspeaker. Well, Mrs. Ketzel, please come to the information booth. We have your little girl, Susan.
You lost your mother?
No, I ran away. I love to hear my name on the public address system.
Come back to my office, hmm? I have a tape recorder that will fit in your purse and a tiny camera that takes pictures automatically.
Well, I must tell you, Hamilton, I take lousy pictures.
Oh, you'll be good enough.
I hope so. I have an album of my family from 1970 to 1979. Uncles, aunts, cousins. Nobody has a head.
Oh, come on. It's starting to rain.
Oh, Hamilton, you're soaking wet.
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Listen, you give me your suit, and I'll drop it off at the cleaner on the way back to my apartment. I'll change my dress and come back with your suit pressed and neat.
No, that sounds good. You're terrific, you know?
Thank you.
Now, this is the setup.
Okay.
Now, this tape recorder here is voice-actuated. Uh-huh. It turns on and records only when you talk.
Right.
Now, when we enter the store, just keep talking about everything you see.
Okay.
Watch individual people. Every time you see a person, smile, frown, look shocked, surprised, whatever. Take a picture.
Uh-huh.
This camera will take care of everything, exposure, focus. You just point it in the right direction and push the button.
Oh, I wish someone would point me in the right direction and push my button.
I assure you, Susan, I know what I'm doing. Now, hold still here while I clip this microphone inside your blouse.
Hamilton, are you making an overture?
Oh, for Pete's sake, Susan, hold still, will you?
Yes, it is an overture, but I can't place the opera.
Mm. There. Would you like to make a test?
Yes, I would. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Hamilton, do you love me?
Yes, I do, Susan.
You do? Okay. Then while you're standing on my feet, soaking wet, not doing anything, would you kiss me?
All right.
Testing. One, two. Once more, Hamilton. Oh, yes. Everything seems to be working perfectly. Hamilton.
Yes.
I think I'd better go. You're dripping all over me. Gee, I love this place. Makes me feel like a kid again.
It's just a department store.
It's not just a department store. It's Schlock's. Oh, Hamilton, couldn't we go to the toy department for a few minutes?
Susan, will you please be serious? Now, we're going up to the counter only to see what it is we want to take. I want to study the layout and figure exactly what I'm going to do.
Right.
At the same time, you can be getting used to your equipment and getting over the fear of using it.
I've had that problem since I was 14.
Okay, let's go. All right. Here's the jewelry department.
Oh, there's a nice-looking brooch. The one that looks like a poisonous mushroom.
Very pretty. $174.95. Do you like that one?
You mean I get to keep the booty? Wow.
Okay. We know what we want now, right?
Right.
Now let's get out of here and then plan our strategy. How do you feel?
Sleepy.
Well, wake up, because this is it.
Listen, why don't we quit before we get into trouble? Let's go to the toy department and I'll take your picture. I won't cut your head off.
Oh, please don't back out on me now, Susan. I need you.
Oh, Hamilton, I need you too. Please be careful.
Andy Griffith again, and here's the fourth act of Hamilton Oliphant. I hope I don't get into trouble by letting you listen to the rest of this story. Even if it is a scientific experiment, it's still going to give you a rough idea of how to steal a diamond.
Now, you keep in back of me. I don't want anyone to know we're together.
Oh, don't worry. If I were together, I wouldn't be here.
Now, you just report everything you see on the tape recorder and occasionally snap a picture of people. Get expressions, surprise, anger, fear, that kind of thing.
Fear, eh? How do I take a self-portrait?
There's the sales lady.
Very sexy. Looks like Jason Robards.
First, I'll disarm her completely. Tell her how lovely she looks in that dress and her hairdo.
Stay with the dress. It's your best feature.
Interesting material. Orange grapes with purple leaves.
Oh, it would be just a simple house dress if it weren't for the Persian lamb collar.
I'll ask her to show me a few pieces in the case, among which will be the mushroom brooch.
Hamilton, do you realize there are two cameras up there panning across the jewelry counter?
Oh, that's right. You're very observant. There is also a convex mirror that makes it possible to see everything in half the store.
And there are probably store detectives all over the place.
Correct. And my assumption is that no one cares.
Oh.
If they do care, they won't do anything about anything. It's a basic law of physics and mankind. A body at rest tends to stay at rest. You nervous?
Terrified.
Okay. You ready?
I may scream.
Fine. Let's go.
So, ladies and gentlemen, at the far end of the counter, I'm observing, recording, and photographing a criminal act performed by Dr. Hamilton Oliphant. Dr. Oliphant is talking to a lady behind the jewelry counter.
Exactly which brooch are you referring to?
That one. There. The mushroom? And may I see the fig leaf and also the silver pea pod?
She doesn't appear to be suspicious, but then she doesn't have any reason to, does she? Who would rob a counter full of costume baubles and take the risk?
Well, make up your mind. I don't want to empty the whole case.
That certainly is a lovely dress you're wearing.
Don't give me any of your flotsam, Sonny. I'm old enough to be your ancestor.
I was admiring your dress.
Did you come here to look at junk jewelry or make passes? Say, what's that girl doing there? She just took my picture.
The sales lady has just taken notice of me and is looking in this direction.
You're not from some cockamamie TV show, are you? Because if you are, I'll sue you right down to your capillaries.
No. I assure you, I'm not from a TV show. Now, would you please show me those brooches?
I don't need this job, you know.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. May I see the jewelry?
I only work here because my husband's retired.
You're working because your husband's retired? I don't get it.
You will when you're 65. Remember that one?
Funny.
I'll tell you, young man, I can't stand my husband. He's an animal. Thinks he's 45 again. Used to get up in the morning and go to work. Now when the cock crows, he makes a pest of himself. I've got to get out of the house.
I see.
The sales lady has placed various pin clusters on top of the counter.
Oh, golly. A man has come in from the next apartment, and there are two more standing in ladies' underwear. I mean, they're in the lingerie department.
Is this for a gift?
Well, yes, in a way. Can I see that one? The stork with the baby in its mouth?
Oh.
It's interesting, isn't it? Usually the stork carries the baby in a diaper, but no diaper here, huh? Carrying the kid right between his chops. How much for all of them?
The sales lady is looking at Dr. Oliphant. Her eyes are narrowed.
You're one of those ad agency people, aren't you? Tell the truth.
No, I'm not really, I'm not.
You are an advertising man, aren't you? And you're running me up a flagpole.
No. I make tests for college exams. That's what I do. My favorite is multiple choice, you see. When I give a gift, I like to think the giftee can choose one and throw the rest away.
The lady's expression is that of bewilderment. She's looking at the man standing beside Hamilton.
Holy Cleveland, Illinois. Hamilton did it. He put my poisonous mushroom pin in his pocket.
I think you're missing some sand in your hourglass, young man. But I'll add 'em up. You've got your pearly fig, your silver pea pod, your hungry storkin' child, and... Well, I could swear there was one more.
Oh, just add those up, huh?
But there was one more.
Oh, my goodness. One of the men next to Hamilton is edging over to him. He's a cop. I just know he's a cop.
Hey, you. Would you come with me quietly?
I'm missing a brooch here, Mr.
Cruz. I know you are. This guy just put it in his pocket. Come on, you.
Hamilton, don't you dare shove him around.
Will you get back, Susan? This is marvelous, don't you understand?
Who is this woman? Get away from me, madam.
Madam Hamilton.
Okay, buddy, let's go upstairs. You too, miss. There's no doubt about it, Mr. Schlock. I saw the man put a colored mushroom in his pocket. I'm sorry to interrupt your lunch.
Oh, that's all right, Norman. Do you care for a nice piece of crispy chicken?
No, thank you, Mr. Schlock.
So, you're a thief, eh? I got you dead to rights.
You can't define that term.
What?
Dead to rights. What does that mean?
Right. Say, Norman, are you sure we got the goods on this turkey?
Absolutely, Mr. Schlock. He's got the article in his pants pocket.
You know, I am very sick and tired of all this shoplifting. And you a doctor, a shrink, too. Well, when our inventory decreases because of people like you, we call it shrinkage. And I find it very newsworthy that a shrink should cause shrinkage. Miss Clone, I'd like you to call Coleman, the reporter, the Morning Herald. Tell him to get over here immediately, because I have got a front page story for him. When people see we're doing something about our shrinkage, maybe they'll think twice before they help themselves to schlock merchandise.
And you're sure everything you've told me is a straight dope? And this guy's a doctor pickpocket?
That's right. And the lady is his accomplice. Norman, relieve her of her camera.
Hey, give that back.
You have no right. Give her that camera, or I...
Don't make threats, mister.
Be careful, doctor. Norman is also a kind of physician. You see, his specialty was surgery, without instruments. Coleman, I want you to take this roll of film back to your paper and have it developed. I want these two marinated in printer's ink.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Schlock. I'll get busy on it right away.
Wait a minute, Coleman. I'll go down with you. Norman... You stay with these two till the police come. And if they try anything, dissemble them.
Yes, sir, Mr. Schlock.
Down, Norman.
Come.
Is Mr. Schlock here, Mr. Klute?
No, he went down his private elevator.
Oh, frog spittle. Do you think you can catch him?
How am I supposed to catch him? Say, that's a nice dress.
Never mind my dress. Look what I found. It's the mushroom brooch. It was on the floor in front of the jewelry counter.
What? Hey, you, turn your pockets inside out. Put your hands in your pockets and pull them out.
Do as he says, Hamilton.
Well, for heaven's sake.
Pull out your pockets, buddy. I'm starting to foam.
I don't have any pockets. There are just holes in my pants. I couldn't have stolen that pin.
I'm about to apply pressure to your occipital protuberance.
I don't have any pockets, just holes.
He's right, Norman. I happen to be an experienced seamstress, and I will testify. We haven't got a thing on him. The man can't be a pickpocket because he has no pockets. No pockets at all.
Yes, Dr. Maven. Well, thank you again. Oh, I really don't know what to say. Oh, I'll be there all right. Yeah, I've got it all down. No, I won't be late. Bye.
What did he say?
He wants me to be at the university. And get this, Dr. Sigmund Maven is going to recommend me for an associate professorship to work with him at the university.
Oh, Hamilton, that's marvelous.
He read the retraction from the newspaper and about the $25,000 gift from Schlock's department store.
Uh-huh.
He thought my idea for a paper on crime was brilliant.
Well, it seems we both have new careers.
And you said you couldn't take a picture.
Oh.
Scandal magazine, no less. Scandal magazine, saying you're the best candid photographer in the last 2 decades.
Dear, that's what did it. I could probably never do it again.
Nonsense. But I still don't understand what happened to my pockets.
Oh, well, I can clear that up. Remember when we got caught in the rain and I took your suit to be pressed?
Yeah.
Well, I cut out all the pockets.
You didn't.
Well, of course I did. You didn't think they were eaten by a pocket gopher.
A pocket gopher? Hey, that's very funny, you know.
Well, then why don't you laugh?
All right. I will.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Hamilton Oliphant, was written by Shepard Mankin and produced and directed by Ken McManus. Your host was Andy Griffith. Our stars were Shepard Mankin and Shirley Mitchell. Featured in the cast were Dawes Butler, Peggy Weber, Frank Capanella, and Jack Carroll. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI. Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you by Cortaze, the new hydrocortisone cream from Upjohn. A significant breakthrough providing temporary relief from skin irritations, itches, and rashes.
This is Vincent Price. Join us tomorrow. I'll have another story to astonish and mystify you. We'll